We have those who are visiting with us this morning, and we begin by saying thanks to you for your presence with us. That means a lot to us, and we hope that our members will take the opportunity to meet those who are here and welcome them into our presence. And we invite you to come back and be with us when the opportunity may arise that you can be present. We still have just a number, as Brad has already mentioned to us, who are out of town. Let's continue to remember those. A number who have made it back now, and this is that time of year, so let's be keeping those in mind who are away from us at this point. One thing I want to say before I get into the lesson this morning, I don't know how many, most of us probably, were here last Sunday night when Jerry Sandlin spoke to us, telling us about some of the things that are going on in Brazil as he had been down there and had a chance to visit. And it was good for him to say the things that he did about the work, but I thought the things that he said after that were just some of the most effective things that have probably been said from this pulpit in a long time. And Jerry's not here this morning, but and this is not to somehow hold him up as something that he would not perceive himself to be, but I would encourage you to take the things that he said in regards to commitment, dedication, and to think about those things as they apply to us and make sure that we are putting them into place within our lives. I want you to think this morning about some thoughts that come from the book of Philippians. Usually we think about Philippians and we think about it as a book that portrays to us joy, and it does do that. I want you to turn to a number of passages. There's good reason for us to come to that kind of a conception of the book. If you go to Philippians chapter 1, I want you to read with me verse 18. Paul talks about the joy in seeing the gospel preached, and it really, in his mind, whatever the motivation behind the one who preaches it may be, as long as the gospel is being preached, he's happy about that. Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." As you turn over to chapter 2, and you look at verses 17 and 18, he talks about the fact that he may be being sacrificed for them, and he says he's happy about that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17, he says, "Yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me." As you look at chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe." Finally, just flip over to chapter 4, and as you look at verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." And so as we go through that and we read some other passages that come to play, and there are others we could read, the idea is this is a book about joy, and I think that's the case. It's joy in being a Christian. It's joy in our service to God. However, there's a contrast to that is also presented. And that's what I want us to look at for just a few minutes this morning. One of the things that he points out, as he points out the things that brings us joy, is he also points out some things that could rob us of our joy, or that could take away our joy. And as we look at these things this morning, and that's going to be the focus of our lesson, I want you to think about yourself, because I will suggest to you that the things that we're going to talk about are attitudes that I think are tremendously pertinent to the day and time in which we live. It is easy for us to fall into some of these things, and may we look at ourselves and do a self-examination in regards to this, not looking around, but looking at self, and saying, what is it that I need to do, perhaps, to change my attitude so that I can find more joy in the things that I'm trying to do in regards to my service to God. When we look at things that rob us of our joy, one of the ones that Paul mentions in this book is this idea of shame. I want you to go back with me to chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 19 and 20. In chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, Paul says to the church at Philippi, he says, "For I know that this will turn out for my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be manifested in my body, whether by life or by death." He expresses this desire that in nothing he would be ashamed. And I think part of what he is saying is that his joy hinged on that idea of him not being found ashamed. Shame is something that can rob us of our joy. It may be it's the idea of shame over sin. We look at our own lives and we see the things that we do or things that we have done, and in some cases we're just appalled at it. And we shake our heads thinking, how could I have possibly done that? And we know that other people know about it, or maybe we're concerned that they're going to find out about it. And so we go about with this demeanor about us where we're almost afraid to look at somebody in the face, or we're afraid to talk to them because of what they may know about us or may not know about us. And so we're tremendously concerned. And we find ourselves covered or filled with shame over the things that we have done. As Brad mentioned, a bunch of us have been away for part of this week. And as we were gone, I was talking with a couple of the guys, and they knew, had a fellow that they knew in common. And it was a fellow who had found himself involved in things that were wrong. And one of the guys said, he said, I met the guy one day, and he said, I could tell by the look on his face that he knew I knew what he had done. And he said he just sort of ducked his head and took off about as fast as he could. What had happened to that guy? Well, probably what happened to him is he was ashamed about what he had done. He was ashamed that other people knew about it. And as he now looks at his life, and I think those two guys would agree with me, his life has changed. Not for the better, but for the worse. He finds himself a different person. He has been robbed of his joy because of his actions and the shame that went along with it. As we look at that idea, one of the things that we must realize is that shame over the sins that we have committed can lead us to a lack of development in the kingdom of God. We can look back on our youthful endeavors and the deeds that we did that were wrong, and we can allow ourselves to be so consumed with shame over those things that we fail to continue and develop in the kingdom of God. And it's not bad to be ashamed over sin, but we cannot allow it to consume us. We must realize that there is forgiveness. If we fail to progress because we know others know what we do or have done, we find ourselves, I think, in some cases making a mistake, and we find shame robbing us of our joy. In Philippians chapter 3, I think Paul gives the answer to some of this, because if there was ever a guy who could have looked back on his misdeeds and been completely ashamed of it and never overcome it, it's him. But he gives us, I think, the solution to some of that in chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. He says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." He says, instead of me looking back and becoming so consumed with the things of the past that I fail to look ahead and see what is coming before me, he says, I put those things behind. As we consider our sins, and we consider those things that could just drag us down to nothing, to a point where we fail to have any effect in the kingdom of God whatsoever, we must realize there is forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And we can overcome the shame by asking God to forgive, and by coming to Him and placing ourselves in His hands and picking ourselves up and continuing on. And so we can develop in the kingdom. We can grow and progress. We can overcome the shame that is associated with sin, realizing that by the power of God through Jesus Christ, we can be forgiven. Another one that Paul points out as something that can rob us of our joy is the idea of selfishness. As you go to chapter 2, read with me verses 3 and 4. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, he says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." And then he goes on, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ." And he talks about what Christ gave up in a very selfless fashion. It's the idea of the contrast to the self-centered mindset. When you look at different people, you know people who are tremendously selfish, because everything that they do is concerned for self. Everything that they do is, how is that going to be in my best interest? What is that going to bring to me? What can I do? How is that going to help the things that I'm involved in? How is that going to lead me to progress up the ladder, or whatever it may be? And there's no concern in these people's mind for others and for the things that may be best for someone else. They're simply looking out for number one. They find themselves in many cases unable to think about others because they are so concerned about themselves. And if everything is not centered around them, they are very unhappy. As you look at that, and you picture that type of a mindset, and I suspect each of us sitting here know people who fit into that category, the bottom line is that is not the mindset of a Christian. There is no way that a Christian can be a person who would be described as selfish or consumed with self in regards to their mindset. And matter of fact, Christians are to be people who are unselfish. Christians are to be people who are living for others. They're to be people who are living for God, who have dedicated themselves to a higher calling and a higher cause than anything that has to do with self or this life. And so we look and we see that thoughts of self are put aside because their focus is on others. But if you find yourself as one who is consumed with yourself, I guarantee you, you're not a happy person. You're a person who is failing to find joy in basic, simple service to God and Jesus Christ. And so we see that Paul gives us the solution to that, even in the verses that we just read. He said, instead of you being someone who is so centered around yourself that you can't think of others, what you do is you are more concerned about others than you are about yourself. You esteem others higher than yourself. You look out for the interest of others even as you're thinking about self in whatever situation that may be. And so he says, you display lowliness of mind. You display humility. You put aside the selfish thoughts that may try to consume us from time to time, and you focus on your service to others, and you focus on your service to God. That's the way true joy is going to be found in the life of a Christian. True joy will be found by putting aside selfishness and focusing on others and the things that we can do in being assisting to them. And so we look and we see that selfishness can rob us of our joy, rob us of the joy that is found in simple service to Jesus Christ. Another one that Paul points out is the idea of murmuring and discontent. He says, as you look at those things, those are things that can take the joy away from our lives. Are you still there in chapter 2? Look at verse 14. He says, do all things without murmuring and disputing. Turn over a page probably to chapter 4 and look with me at verse 11. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, but I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to suffer need, and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The point that Paul is making is he's saying that if we're people who are murmuring or people who are discontent, we can't find contentment with the things that we have and who we are. He says those are things that will lead us to having a lack of joy within our lives. Have you ever met a person who is unhappy with just about everything that happens? It doesn't matter what it is. It's just not right. It doesn't matter how well it may be done or how poorly it may be done. They're going to moan and fuss about it no matter what. I suspect all of us may have that person that we could point out. When you think about that, it may be in regards to a number of different things. You will find people who will murmur and complain in regards to the congregation of which they're a part. And it may be that the preaching is either too long or else it's too short. And it may be that the singing is either too fast or it's too slow. It may be that the elders are too controlling or else they're too lax and they're not getting anything accomplished. And you see that just about everything that happens turns into nothing but them fussing about it or complaining about the way that it's done. If you look at that person and you examine their life, would you describe them as happy? I would suggest to you that it's absolutely not. It may be we find ourselves discontent over the material possessions of life with which we have been blessed. It may be that we never have enough. It may be that it's just never quite good enough. It may be that we never have the things that we want, though the things that we want may not be the things that are best for us. And so we look and we find ourselves discontent with the things that we have in life. And we're always seeking for something more. As long as we find ourselves in that position, we will not understand what it is to be filled with joy that comes through service to Jesus Christ. And so what must we do? Well, the bottom line is we've got to learn how to be content. We've got to learn that as we consider the blessings of life, there are things that have come to us from God. And as they have come to us from God, He has blessed us in just about every case as regards to the people who are sitting here. He has blessed us richly. Who am I to be discontent with what He has given me? Instead, I should be thankful. I could also realize that they can be removed. And that if they are removed, I have no right to complain. I have no right to be upset. But rather, I should just learn to be happy with the things that I have. I think probably one of the greatest challenges and the greatest detriments to us finding joy as we go through this life is our lack of contentment and our murmuring over the things that we have and the things that we see around us. May people not look at us and say, there's a guy who fusses about everything. There's a guy where nothing is right. Instead, may they look at me and may they look at you and see people who are happy with what they have, who are happy with what God has given them, and who have found contentment in whatever situation in which they find themselves. There's one more that I want to address that Paul points out, and that's the idea of anxiety. As you look at chapter 4, read with me if you would verse 6. We see Paul, as I think he points out, that anxiety is something that can rob us of the joy that comes through Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." One of the things I would suggest to you, and it's been suggested to several of us already over the course of the last few days, is that anxiety and worry can drive us crazy. They can lead us to the point where we are so distracted by something that may be going on within our lives that we fail to fulfill any other responsibility with which we find ourselves burdened in this life. And so we allow an anxious thought to arise or worry to arise, and we're so concerned about that and so consumed with that that we fail to see all of the other things that may be going on around us. The world calls it stress. And we talk about stress management and controlling stress and suppressing it and making sure that we remove it from ourselves. We can feel this type of anxiety over a number of different things. It could be over our job. It could be over our children. Could be over various projects in which we find ourselves involved. It may be we get so consumed over the weather and what's going to happen with that that we find ourselves burdened with it. Whatever it is, if we allow ourselves to be so concerned about it that we fail to find ourselves fulfilling other responsibilities, we're making a tragic mistake. If we find ourselves so anxious about the things that are happening in this life that we fail to find joy in serving God, we have found something there that is robbing us of our joy. What's the solution? Well, I would tell you that a lot of money is being spent trying to figure it out. We have seminars on it. We have retreats. We have help books that we can buy. We have counseling that we can go to. We have all of these different things, therapy sessions, where we try to talk everything out and we try to bring everything together, and somebody's supposed to help us to understand what it is that's going on. And we spend thousands upon thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of dollars over the course of a year as we look at this society trying to figure out how to overcome anxiety. The solution is not in spending our money. The solution is placing our trust in God. What Paul is instructing people to do in regards to anxious things and anxiety is, instead of trying to bear that burden yourself, you place that burden on the God of heaven. You go to Him and you talk to Him about it. You spend time in prayer discussing it with Him. And as you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful reassurance it is to us that as we face the anxious times of life, the times where we could allow ourselves to be bogged down in that, consuming our lives to a point where we fail to do the other things we must do, instead we can go to our Father. And we can talk to Him, and we can place it in His hands. We must not be people who allow anxiety to rob us of our joy. Instead, we must be people who learn how to deal with that by placing it in the hands of God. That's a tremendous challenge that lies before each of us as we consider the lives that we lead, the society in which we live, but it's a challenge that we definitely can overcome. And so we look at these things. And the question is, what is the solution to each one? It comes back to the same thing. The solution to true joy, the solution to overcoming those things that can rob us of our joy,
is by placing our faith and confidence in God and in Jesus Christ. By coming to Him for the relief of the burdens that we find ourselves bearing. Whether it's the burden of sin, whether it's the burden of being so consumed with self that I failed to look at others, whatever it is, I can look to God to help me with whatever that situation may be. And through Him and through placing confidence in Christ and in God, I can overcome. But the only way I'm going to do that is by committing myself to Him, by placing myself in His hands, by repenting of my sins, confessing faith in Jesus as God's Son, and being baptized for those sins to be washed away. It is then, and only then, that I begin exploring the solution to the things that we've talked about this morning. It is then that we find true joy in serving Jesus Christ. And so the invitation to you this morning is to come to God, to place yourself in His hands, to allow Him to bear your burdens. We hope you'll do that, and that you'll do it now as we stand up and as we sing.